One of the moments in ministry that touches my heart is listening to a family share about the dearly departed, the lifting up of what was awesome about mom or dad, sister or brother. It's powerful to hear. Some folks are saints in life. Their stories of light and love and laughter come forth. I can't think of a time when mom said a bad word about anyone. Wow. If you needed dad, he was always there. It's a defining moment. But I've also encountered my share of family moments when the dearly departed was more challenging than saintly. But even in those cases, the family will scour the history and rally around the rare moments to say, he wasn't always that way. There was a time when his smile would light up a room. While she was hard on us, she always seemed to welcome a stranger into her life. The point is that life is often defined by what we do. We are judged by our actions. Is there anything here worth redeeming? But the point is that that is not the point of the gospel. From Mark 11, hear the word of God. He sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this: the Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If one were to measure the lives of the disciples by what they do, in Mark's gospel, and only in this gospel, one would have to scour their history and rally around a brief shining moment or two. Because most of what they do in the area of following Jesus, that is to say, if anyone wants to be one of my disciples, they must take up their cross and follow me. Well, in the cross-bearing department, the disciples fail time and time again because they have no clue as to who it is they're following. When the storm is raging, the disciples wake up Jesus and say, don't you care that we all perish if we all perish? And Jesus gets up and says to the storm, peace be still. And the disciples say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? When Jesus sends them out two by two, they have amazing success casting out demons and healing, but their power is but for a brief shining moment, and then they get disconnected because they can't seem to make the connection as to who Jesus is. They meander in the dark. Because just following that moment, Jesus is with the multitudes, with the disciples. And Jesus asks the disciples, you give them something to eat. How are we going to do that? How are we going to feed all these people? What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to rob a bank. They have no clue. Jesus takes a few scraps of food, raises his eyes. From whence cometh my help? My help comes in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And lo and behold, it's a feast. A moment later, the invitation is again extended. 4,000 people this time, feed the multitudes. How are we going to do that? And Jesus takes a few scraps of bread and fish and looks to the heavens. From whence cometh my help? My help comes in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's defining moments. They don't know who Jesus is. When Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? Well, the disciples say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say one of the prophets. Well, Jesus says, how about you all? What do you say? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You know, he's right. but he has no clue. Because Jesus tells what he's going to do. He's going to suffer. He's going to be killed. And in 3 days, he will rise again. And Peter says, you're not going to do that. That's not who you are. No, I forbid it. It's a defining moment. Who defines you? Who defines you? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever tried to live into someone else's definition of you? Tried to be someone you're not? Lived a lie to fit in? It's awful being someone you're not. Having to be with people you don't want to be with because you're not you. Having to believe in something that you know is wrong. Goes against everything you've been taught. But if you don't go along, then who will you be? Who defines you? And who do you define? Who are the people who place you on a pedestal? Or who are the people you place on a pedestal? Who are the people you put in a box? Who are the people who didn't measure up to how you think that they should live and move and have their being? They were just not the friend you thought they were, the spouse, the neighbor, the pastor, the president, the person that you created them to be. One of the great projects of our day is to define people by drawing a line. You are either this or you're that. Because if you're this, you surely can't be that. Because if you're red, there's no evidence of blue, not in you. Drawing a line is a defining moment. We are quick to draw lines. You're either for us or you're against us. We draw lines these days, except with our pets. I mean, the cat can scratch the furniture, tear it all apart. Oh, Tigger, sweetie, I told you not to ruin that $10,000 sofa. Come here, you silly monster. What am I going to do with you? I'm going to love you. That's what I'm going to do to you, you little terrorist. What grace we will give to fur. But people? You're just a line away from being the devil. Get behind me, Satan. If you can demonize people, it makes it so easy to eliminate them. Defining people by what they do. It's what we do. It seems Jesus, the Son of God, the one who can still the storm, this Jesus, all-powerful, can't get 12 people he's chosen to be his disciples to get in line with the definition of discipleship. If anyone wants to be my follower, let them take up their cross and follow me. Of the 12 in Mark's gospel, there are no takers. They all leave him. Surely we must be frustrating to God. God can't get us over to God's side. God has a hard time defining us. But there is this little bit of good news for disciples in Mark's gospel. I mean, if we're going to define discipleship by what we do, here it is. Jesus asks a couple of his disciples, go Find a colt that has never been ridden. The disciples whom Jesus asks go unnamed. I always think that when the Gospels don't name a disciple, it's time for us to insert our name. For example, John writes, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord." Well, who is the disciple that Jesus loved? The one who sees and celebrates the Lord. Is that you? Are you the one disciple that Jesus loves? Luke has that wonderful story of Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus after the death of Christ. And Cleopas and that unnamed friend. Is that you? So sad, living without hope, walking sadly on a road to nowhere. Is that Jesus walking with you and you just can't see him? Is that you? Two disciples go after a colt. Is one of them you? I mean, of all the things that Jesus asks you to do, well, are you the kind of person who knows that there's 4,000 homeless children in Nashville and you say to yourself, I don't have a clue how to fix that. I can't feed the multitudes. But if Jesus asks you to go to the store and get a can of SpaghettiOs to feed a child who you don't know, well, I can do that. You might do it out of guilt. You might do it out of hope. You might do it to make amends for the million things you didn't do and should have done. You might do it and pick up some ribs and slaw for yourself. But you'll do it. You'll do it because the Lord needs it. Go and find a colt that has never been ridden. That's it. That's what they get right. In all of this thing, that's what they get right. They go and find a colt that has never been. He chooses two people to pick up a colt. And those two people in this story, they know not to stop and pick up the war horse. No, he asked for a colt, a young donkey. Wow, that's some definition of a Christ. And we're going to help him along. We're going to get that donkey. We're going to let him be handed over. We're going to let him suffer and die. We're going to let him be raised. You know, that's the one I need to define me. How about you? Because the sum total of what I've done in my life is not much. I haven't stilled any storms. I have not fed the multitudes. No, getting a colt is more my speed. Getting a can of SpaghettiOs for some kid who's hungry. Saying hello to the kid who puts that can of SpaghettiOs in a bag. It's just the little things. Getting along with Uncle Ken and his crazy political beliefs. Oh, God. It's putting some money in an envelope to feed somebody in Timbuktu. And while the sum total of all that may be told at my funeral, folks, it's not the colt. It's not getting the colt that saves. It's not getting the colt that redeems. It's the one who rides it and defines us not by a line, but by mercy and love. And this is good news.